In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the midst of all the comings and goings of summer, we welcome you to worship today at Providence Presbyterian Church. I'm very glad that you're all here this morning with us. 12 of our folks are shortly to be en route back from the mission trip, which has been very successful in Philadelphia this weekend, and only one injury of 8 stitches to Jonick in a basketball injury. So we look forward to their return later today, and Pastor Medhat is with them returning from that. I want to give thanks this morning for Reverend Glenn Ramsey standing in the co-pastor role today, and Lydia Yamaguchi as our worship leader, and Dan Blackford, who is PowerPointing for us at the very last moment because everyone else was out of town this week. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside aisle. Pass them down the pews so that you may share any information that you would like us to know about how to contact you and keep you up to date on what is happening in the life and ministry of this congregation through this summer and beyond. Share an email address or a phone number. We would love to be able to keep in touch with you. And if you would like a name tag, anyone can have a name tag, and we would love to have you wear name tags. There are name tags on the back table and a place where you can sign up to ask for one if you would like one. Our Tuesday night barbecues continue on the front lawn from 6 to 8 p.m., and I believe we are still looking for hosts for the 20th and the 27th. So find your friends and help us out with that. If you have questions about what that means, talk to Gina Bay, talk to Sally Lockhart about the details of that, but the information is also posted on the bulletin board up in the back of the Hope Room. And I ask now if there might be any other announcements that people would like to make in this morning of upcoming events. Dave Bay.
This is the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were giving me the mic.
I just wanted to draw all the men's attention to August 22nd. Is that right, Dave Spader? The next meeting of the men's group will be on August 22nd. It looks like we're going to go bowling. So anyone who's interested, please see me or Dave Spader. Just keep it simple with the two of us for now. August 22nd. It's a Thursday. Thank you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving, singing joyful songs of praise. Let us worship God as we stand and sing number 477, Ye Servants of God.
Thank you.
Think about this. As fully as we know our own faults and failings, as clearly as we may see and hear about the sins of others, without a doubt, the proof of God's amazing love is this: Christ died for us. Only because we have faith in our loving and merciful God do we dare to approach God with confidence, confessing our sin. In silence, I invite you to read the printed prayer of confession, applying it to yourself, and then we will offer it with one voice. In humility and faithfulness, let us with one voice confess our sin to God and to one another. Great and wondrous God, you bid us to worship you with our whole lives, and we give but bits and pieces. We desire to control where you seek to work. We are blind to the needs of others, callous to the hurts around us. We fall ever short of the life you would lead us to. Forgive us, O God, and lead us in your ways. You have us live in this your world. Center our lives in you, that we might ever show forth your glory in thanksgiving. In Jesus we pray. Amen. And let us continue our confession as we sing, "Bind Us Together." The mercy of our loving God is as wide as the wideness of the sea. It is from everlasting to everlasting. Know, believe, accept, you are forgiven, and be at peace. Be at peace with God, with yourself, with one another, and with all of God's good creation. Amen.
Thank you. This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns in prayer with one another and before God. I invite you to share joys and concerns here this morning, and I'm going to try to go one side first and then the other side. Are there joys and concerns on this side to share? He's not going to share his joy. I'm going to share on behalf of Rolf then that Rolf turns 80 on Wednesday. And when you turn 80 on a Wednesday, that means the next week we'll also be celebrating the joy and concern as well.
All week.
So all week long, because it's right in the middle.
I have a joy because Ray's back here with me. And also I have a concern, I want prayers said because Ray's family's going through a struggle. His brother Keith is having his foot removed because of diabetes. He's having a lot of health issues. I would like prayers for his family and for his brother Keith.
Prayers for Ray's family and his brother Keith.
Prayers for safe travels for our mission group. Especially want to lift up Brooke driving the 1995 Odyssey.
Acts of faith all over the place here.
I want to bid prayers for my friend Bill, who is undergoing surgery tomorrow to restore his hearing.
Prayers for Bill.
Bill, okay.
My birthday is on August.
When's your birthday?
Tomorrow.
All right. And you're going to be five, right? Theo is going to be five tomorrow. Other joys and concerns. This side.
My granddaughter Maggie is going to be 13 tomorrow. She's 13 going on 30. I'd like to continue prayers for Walter and for Mason.
Prayers for Maggie tomorrow, 13, and for Walter and Mason, continued prayers.
Okay. I'd like to ask prayers for a student whose name is Adrian, who has cancer.
Prayers for Adrian.
Beautiful Day received a small grant this week from Imago Dei Foundation in Boston, so we're grateful for that, and you can keep praying for the other grant applications we have out.
So for the grant from Imago Dei and for continuing grant applications for the wonderful work of Beautiful Day with refugees.
We all have a joy. Milton chose to spend his vacation with us. Yay!
Indeed, indeed, and got drafted immediately to play violin.
Let us pray. God of generous, loving kindness, eternal God of mercy and grace, we are startled and shocked by your goodness, by your patience with us sinners, and by the marvelous ways that you care for us and provide for us. It is with deep humility and joy that we offer you thanksgiving for all your many blessings, for birthdays, for Rolf's, for Theo's, for Maggie's, for the gift of life, for the gift of presence, for Ray with us today, for grants that have come and grants that may come, for Milton's presence with us. We would also offer you thanks for the lively witness of the Dunn's Corner Church in Westerly, and for the faithfulness of its pastor, Jim Glenn, and for the ministries of Dr. Tom Troger at Yale and of Reverend Tom Witter and Sam Baez. Even though we are also often startled and shocked by the trials and challenges of life in this fallen world, we seek your blessed healing presence to be with those who are hurting and with those who feel threatened. We seek your blessings especially for those going through family struggles, for family, raise family, but also all of us who face challenges and difficulties. We seek safe travels for the mission trip people as they come home from Philadelphia, for Bill as he faces surgery, for Walter and Mason, for Adrian as she faces the challenge of cancer. We seek your blessings also for the Reverend Jeffrey Wood, who's recovering at home. Startle us, O God, shock us with the truth of your gospel, with your vision of justice and peace. Open our minds, our hearts, our lives to your transforming, uplifting, comforting, and challenging spirit, so that we may be one with Christ our Lord and serve you as your faithful disciples, even as we pray together as Jesus taught the 12 to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There's a special thing not in the bulletin, but I'd like to call all the children forward in preparation for the children's message, which will be coming soon, but would also like to call forward Meg Armstrong and John Boucher. One of the challenges and opportunities of serving this church as pastor is the reality that we are a church so often in transition. And today we give thanks for John and Meg's ministry with us as this is their last Sunday here with us at Providence Presbyterian Church. Meg has accepted a great position in Worcester with the development office and they are moving soon, but this is their last Sunday. But in the couple of short years that they have been here in the life of this church, they have made a significant impact, particularly in the life and ministry of these ones that you see right in front of you. So as they prepare to go forth today, and we had to do this now because John's doing childcare today. So still, last Sunday, still doing childcare around here. I would like them to come into the middle and all of you children to surround them and put your hands upon them so that we might pray over them and send them forth into the new life. And they can take you with them that way. Come. Okay, can you come and put your hand on, if you can. You guys probably can. Can you come and put a hand on Meg and John or one another? Yeah, everybody. We need everybody. We need a blessing to send them for. Yes, let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks that you have called us to places and opportunities of ministry and service together and fellowship and in thanksgiving and joy. We thank you for Meg and John and the time that they have been here as part of the children's ministry of this church, as an active part of the 20s and 30s gathering, and in so many places bringing their spirits in alignment with where you have called them to serve. We thank you for the gifts that they have discovered in themselves. We thank you that you send them forth into new opportunities and new horizons, confident that you will continue to guide their steps. Bless them as they go from us here. Give them energy for the time ahead. Help them to realize the dreams that are before them, and send them forth as ambassadors of the gospel that you have blessed them with. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Kids, stay up. Kids, stay up there.
All right, we got a children's message. All right, Chris, I need your diamond. There's no divorce here. I just need her diamond. All right. Hi, guys. So I got two things here. I've got, what's this?
A water bottle
with water in it. And what's this? And there's a little stone in there. What kind of stone do you think that is? It's a diamond. Okay. So we're going to do a little economics today. So I want to ask you a question. Which is worth more? The diamond.
I would say diamond.
You would say diamond. Does anybody disagree? Why do you disagree? Just because you're difficult?
No, I think it's because it's fragile.
It's fragile? Maybe that's one reason.
Because
yeah, than water. Yeah, so it's probably true the diamond is worth more, and it's especially worth a lot to her. But now imagine you were on a desert island, okay? Which would be more important to you?
Water.
Why?
Because they're beautiful and they
want to dehydrate. Oh, nice word. Whoa. That's right. So water is really important to us. It's what we need every day, but the diamond is worth more. How could that make sense? It's because diamonds are very rare. There aren't very many diamonds in the world, whereas there's lots of water. In fact, I looked up on the internet, and I wanted to know how many diamonds they find every year. And they said it was 50,000 pounds. Now, that sounds like a lot. But you know what? How much water that is? That's how much water falls on the roof of your house every year. Or actually, the amount of water on your house every roof in Rhode Island is about three times that. So there's much more water in the world, so we can find water everywhere, and so it's worth a lot. Yeah, so water's not worth the same as much as a diamond, okay? But if you were on a desert island and you didn't have water, then water would be worth a lot more. Now, why am I talking about worth, what something is worth? Does that have anything to do with church? Well, I think it does. So, Pastor Chris, for the next three Sundays, is going to talk about why we worship. And I was wondering, why do we worship? Does anybody have any idea? Yes? Okay, that's a good idea. What about you? Oh, okay, yeah? Why do we worship? Oh, that's very good. Sometimes we forget about God. Now, sometimes when I'm confused about why we do something, I look at the word and I look it up in the dictionary. And when I saw the word worship, it was related to another word that I used a minute ago. Does anybody hear a word that I just used in worship a little bit? Worth. Worth. Worship. So worship comes from the same background as the word worth. Okay? So why do we worship? We worship because God is worth it, okay? Because God is so important to us, and it's something that's worth more than anything else. And in fact, when I began to think about diamonds and water, I realized that God is a little bit like diamonds, and also God is a little bit like water. God is a little bit like water because we need God every day in order to stay alive and be healthy and make a difference in the world. But God is a little bit like diamonds because there's nothing else like God anywhere in the world. Very rare. So God is worth a lot because God is more than diamonds and more than water as both. all right? So let's just say a little prayer, okay? Dear God, help us to know that we come to worship because you are worth it, because you are everything to us, and we honor your presence with an hour of our lives every week. Amen. Yes?
Spirit.
We have to ask Pastor Chris about what the Spirit is. She'll help you with that.
Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And the second reading is from 1 Samuel's book, chapter 1, verse 9 through 2, verse 1. After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow: O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazirite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine. But Hannah answered, No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time. Then Eli answered, Go in peace. The Lord, the God of Israel, grant the petition you made him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your sight. Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazirite for all time. Her husband Elkanah said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and the skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my lord, as long as you live, my lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. She left him there for the Lord. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever asked yourself, why do I worship? For these next weeks, we're going to explore three dimensions of that question from a Presbyterian perspective, since that is what I am. And I invite you to ponder it for yourself as well. The maintenance of divine worship is one of the great ends of the church, according to the Presbyterian polity. And in the weeks to come, we'll be exploring these various great ends as they relate directly to the ministry and mission that we find ourselves in here at Providence Presbyterian Church, and where God is calling us to move forward in faith. As we continue the journey this day into this text, will you pray with me? Pour forth your Spirit, O God, that the words we speak and ponder may be an acceptable offering to you, our rock and our Redeemer. In Christ we pray. Amen. In order to explore this question, this different WWW, not World Wide Web, but why we worship, we could have chosen many, many passages of Scripture, many examples of God's people turning to God in praise, in thanksgiving, in need, and in hope. In Exodus, between chapters 3 and 10, a book of the Bible that kept coming up again and again in my sabbatical reading, and I'm still exploring why that is true. I wish I'd attended some of Russ's Bible study before. In Exodus, between chapters 3 and 10, God repeatedly says to Moses, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go, that they may worship me, that they may worship me." Worship and liberation are inextricably linked. It is an amazing gift to be able to worship together in that spirit. A call from God, even it is, as seen in this Exodus story. On the last Sunday before my sabbatical ended in my tour of various churches for those 8 weeks, I heard the story of Hannah preached at the church where I worshiped. I'd never thought of the story of Hannah as being so linked to the practice of worship, but as I prepared for this series, that came to me again and again. For in Hannah, we see a life centered and lived in worship, in good and bad times, to the glory of God, in sacrifice and offering. Continually, she came to the temple to seek God first, to listen where God would lead her. Hannah knew worship. We read in our text that she presented herself before the Lord in the temple. She prayed and she wept, bringing all of her life to the Lord, honestly seeking and reaching for God's guidance in that life, again and again, with people and by herself, even in the confusion of those who worshiped alongside her, not knowing what she was all about. She listens for God, and she makes a vow of faith to God, realizing all that she is and has is a gift from God, even to the point of offering her only and long-awaited son to serve in the temple. She would see him only once a year in those visits. All that she has, she offers up to the Lord in worship. And worship has that kind of power for us if we too may stop and listen, wait and hear where God is at work. There are very few places in our busy lives when we take time like this, this hour of worship, to stop and listen, to ask the question, where is God? And what is God speaking to me now? In worship, we may realize how gifted we truly are, and it brings a joy to our lives that the world can never give and the world can never take away. Rick Taylor asked me this morning if this was going to be my reflections on my trip to Zambia. That will be coming later down the road, and there will probably be stories that come in the midst of that in these weeks to come as I share in sermons. But I'm looking to probably do that in September. But one story I want to tell this morning is the story of Pastor Naomi. Pastor Naomi is in her mid-20s, and the only female in the second graduating class of the Chisefu Theological College in Zambia. In my travels earlier this summer, I had the chance to meet her. I had seen her on the video that we are using to raise funds to support that capital project, but I had the chance to meet her and talk with her. She was excited that day that we met because her church was going to be celebrating her induction as pastor. She'd been there for a few months. They use the word induction rather than installation. I think induction makes it sound less like you're putting a refrigerator into place in a church. We learn many, many things from one another when we travel. The Sunday, this induction was to happen the Sunday after we met, and she was really excited. She was thrilled because later that week, her church members were all going to come together on Wednesday to pour concrete over half of the sanctuary so that they would no longer have a dirt floor, but they would have a concrete floor for half of the sanctuary. She was very, very excited. Over the past few months that she has been on the job, they have built the church to the roof level, and it has been covered with roof through the generosity of the synod paying for that. She loves being a pastor. I asked her what had prompted her to become a pastor, which was not a very typical vocation in Zambia at that time. And she said to me, I've always been drawn to worship. I worked my way up in the church as a child, as a youth, in the women's ministry. And she said, I want to lead people in praising God and to better their lives in the world. Those of you who have weathered the journeys of the teen years, or as parents, know that it is a time when many things have a way of getting turned upside down and questioned. The question why that we encounter in our children when they're 2 and 3 years old takes on a deeper meaning than that 2 to 3 year old phase as the youth move toward adulthood and start thinking about what are going to be the foundations of my life as I move forward. Questions of faith are not exempt from that for many of them. I've had quite a few of those conversations, or should I maybe say negotiations, with my teens over this past year. Worship, it seems to me, and in talking that through with my teens, seems to me that it is one of the few formal times that we have in the week, whether we are youth or adult, where we have the opportunity to step outside of our world for just a moment, to step outside of ourselves, our families, our individual concerns, to point our heads in the direction of God and what God is doing in life. To look beyond the powering of our own lives, to acknowledge that God is beyond us, to praise that we are not alone in the journey, to reach for new insights and focus, to be thankful for the coincidences and blessings of life that have come maybe unexpectedly in that week, a time to reach for silence and space, for new insight, energy, and direction to come. Worship can be a time when we discover the God promptings deep inside of ourselves and remember and see, maybe for perhaps more clearly, how God is already at work in and through us and in the people around us, and how God is calling us to live out that faith with God at the center. The great end of divine worship is clear. It's not about us. Worship is about God, because God, as Andrew said to the children this morning, God is worth it. This is the sovereignty of God that Presbyterian theology talks about. Worship allows us a time to stop, to pay attention. As one friend reminded me, we begin to realize, perhaps for the first time, that there is a God, and we are not it. So worship is not about us, but in pointing us to the one who is the source of all life, mission in the world, and hope. It's called the maintenance of divine worship, that great end of the church, for a reason. It's about God. Let's face it, in our culture increasingly this year, these days, it's an out-of-the-ordinary thing to gather with people so varied and different from our day-to-day lives, to sing songs that we may not really know, to allow others to bring prayer concerns of their lives, to listen to a preacher talk about the witness of faith through Scripture from 2,000 or longer years ago. It is against our culture to think that there is a force outside of ourselves at work. For after all, we are called to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, to make our own success, rugged individualism and all that. Worship is a focus on God that takes us out of ourselves to a freedom in Christ that is beyond all earthly knowing. Music plays a big part in that and speaks to the heart and souls in ways sometimes that words cannot reach. Many times, words cannot reach. And I think maybe violins have a special way of reaching that all of their own. One of the first offerings of music to come our way at this church in my 10 years outside of the gifts of the chancel choir was the gift of violins in worship when the Bays just happened to mention in my visit to them as they were considering membership that they played the violin. and that if we wanted, they might play it sometime in worship. That opened the door to more and more sharing of gifts of music in this congregation over these years. So much so that even when people visit, we can draft them into playing music and singing along with us. Not a performance, but an offering to God. Worship evokes that spirit of gratitude in us, and those unexpected blessings of life. It calls it forth and expands our horizons. The psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Enter with thanksgiving and praise, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, God's faithfulness to all generations, no matter what may come." In worship, we not only pray and praise, but are taught, challenged, cared for, and sent out. And that is how worship was described in the description for the Institute of Worship that our organist and choir director, Elena, attended this summer, in which she shared with our worship committee in part on Thursday. In the next weeks to come here in this sanctuary, we will be talking about that connection of worship to mission and to hope. Our church survey in this interim time said that our worship together is one of highest importance in our church's life, one of our most important values. So I challenge you to think about it. Why do you worship? Why is that so? Drop me a note. I promise you won't become a sermon illustration. But let us continue to reflect and grow in our understanding and practice of what it means to worship God in praise, in thanksgiving, in lives brought honestly forth to God in this hour and from this place. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith, reading the affirmation of faith in the bulletin and also up there. In Christian worship, we joyfully ascribe all praise and honor, glory and power to the triune God. In worship, we as people of God acknowledge God present in the world and in our lives. As we respond to God's claim and redemptive action in Jesus Christ, we are transformed and renewed. In worship, we offer ourselves to God and are equipped for our service. Let us give thanks for the rich blessings in our lives through gathering our tithes and offerings. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and to give back your with thankfulness the gifts that you have given us in kindness. Bless these offerings that they do your will as you wish it to be done. And we thank you for all that you have done in our lives, and we know that everything in this world and the resources that we have are not from us, but from you. And we pray that we can do them justice and serve your justice in the world. So bless these offerings so that we may glorify your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now to the one who is able to strengthen you according to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, to the only wise God, be glory now in Christ Church, now and forevermore. Go forth. to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.